the Open Championship. Big thanks to Josh, who came in here and turned on the TV. Hey, Brian, good morning. I told these guys I did not know how to turn on the television in the studio. If that's embarrassing, I don't know. But Josh, turn it on. So I've got the Open Championship. I'm ready to rock.
Is Joe that important to the show? He's the only one that knows how to turn the TV on?
He is the one who turns the television on, yeah. But but also, how often are we up watching stuff that's live sports? It's this. It's the Olympics if they're in, you know, Asia or something. It's, I don't know, like, is that it? It really might be the World Cup, if it's early. The Olympics, the Winter Olympics. I feel like I've watched a hockey game here in the morning. It's not a lot, but the Open Championship is one of them. The Open Championship, the British Open, however you want to call it, even though it's in Northern Ireland. Brian Koziel, Tee to Green, and Sabres post-game and intermission host as well, joining us on the Worcester Hotline. All right, Brian, so this tournament, you know, the Open Championship, of course, it's the final major of the year, and it's different from the rest. What can you tell us about Portrush? Like, what should people know about this course that maybe gives it an identity away from the other courses that are over there? All I know about it is that, like, Rory was thought to be a favorite going into this because he wins the Masters, and everyone thought, oh, the majors set up really well for Rory. He knows that course well. He loves that course. So what is it, a big hitter's course? Is that the thing?
It's a little bigger of a course compared to the rest of them. This is only the third time that Royal Portrush has actually hosted the Open. In fact, geography lesson, it's the only course outside of Great Britain that has hosted. All the other ones have been in England, Scotland vicinity. So this one is Northern Ireland, and it hosted in 1951. And then it disappeared, essentially. They never went back there. They did a major renovation. And then in 2019, it came back. And that's, you know, the tournament you're mentioning when it comes back. And Rory is the predominant favorite. And he discussed this week how he didn't handle that week well. He said there was so much attention, so much good and bad. He's like, you know, he had commitments and media requests and everybody wanted a piece of Rory. And he said the fans were, you know, just wanted to embrace him. He said there were so many people there that were supportive of him throughout his time growing up as a child and his, you know, young golf career and going through it. But he said he tried to kind of put blinders on and tried to kind of play within himself. And he said he just did not handle it well. If you remember from that first day, actually, from 2019, and if people do remember, good memory here, he hit his first tee shot on the first hole out of bounds and ended up shooting a 79 on the first day. And just, you know, it was an awful day for him coming home to where he thought, you know, was going to be like the storybook day. And then the next day he shoots 65 and has the crowd like rallying behind him to try to make the cut. He ended up missing the cut by one shot. So he said, look, this time around, he goes, I definitely am going to try to handle this in a different way. He's like, I'm six more years mature in. He goes, I understand there's a lot of people that really are pulling for me and supporting me. And he said, "Have I wouldn't be here without them. So he's like, I'm going to embrace it this year, take it in. And he's like, hopefully acknowledge everything that is great about being back home. So he's essentially trying to maybe do what we didn't see from, you know, from the first time, which is try to maybe you know, acknowledge the galleries and do that extra interview and sign that extra autograph and do those extra things that he said hopefully will put him in a good mindset, and we'll see how it goes, because coming home here, he definitely is one of the favorites. But this course, definitely in terms of what you see on TV, it's going to be a little bit more I would say space in between holes. There's a little bit more bigger hitters course. Most of these Open road of courses, the shorter hitter can kind of be more in play, but because of the renovations, they made it a little bit longer than some of the rest of them. And it's the fewest bunkers of any of the course in the open rota. So we know that bunkers in this particular tournament a little bit more penalizing than the ones that are in the United States, because the pot bunkers, and they're meant to be penalizing. So, but not as many as normal, but when they are, there'll still be something that the players are going to have to deal with.
Brian Koziel on the Open Championship. You know, you're talking about, you know, players trying to take it in. We saw Scheffler this week talk about golf and how it might be kind of somewhat unfulfilling to win. Here's Rory, who appears to be in some sort of personal, he won the Masters and he seems miserable on some level, right? Like there's a little bit of a, the soul of golf isn't having all that much fun. And I don't know if you have an explanation for that, but it kind of feels like that's where we are right now.
Yeah, we actually, yesterday, when I was doing the bet pick 10 with Mike and Chris, we were talking about it a little too. It's a sport where 150 or so guys go out and play and only one wins. So in some sense, they're like, you're setting yourself up to maybe be disappointed every single time you go out and play. And, you know, I guess when you're at that level, what did Tiger always say about, I'm only here to win. I'm not here to finish second. I'm not here to do anything else. Like, how do you train your brain to understand that you are going into a tournament? And, obviously maybe Scheffler and Tiger had a different odds, but in general, one of out of 150 here, like, a less than 1% chance of maybe being happy at the end of this week. Like, how do you deal with that mentally? And I give golfers and, tennis players credit. You're going into these events where, again, it's one of 100 and like there's only going to be one winner at the end. It's not team sports. Somebody's going to win every game and it's either one or the other. And when you're playing 82 games a season like in hockey or 100 and whatever in baseball, like you're going to, even the best teams lose 60 times. But the golfers, obviously, for the most part, seemingly have a bigger challenge. Yeah, Scheffler, that conversation this week about saying it's enjoyable for about 2 minutes and then he's kind of worrying about what's next in his life and all that sort of stuff. I mean, interesting perspective. I would think that maybe as he steps away from it more or as time goes on that he'll appreciate it more, but it's got to be also too some of the things in the moment, like there's so many commitments when you're a winner that maybe it feels at times like it can be a hassle when you want to maybe just sit back and enjoy it. Yeah. So I guess I get a little bit of what he's saying, but I guess add it to the long list of things that are mentally challenging about this sport that, you and I play it for fun as amateurs and we have our good days and our bad days. And it's still sometimes like I have to sometimes out on the golf course, be like, Brian, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, literally the only, and it's a good ego check, I think, for all of us. Like, Brian, the only one who really cares about what the score is you. So if you don't let it bother you, then
right.
It's okay, kind of thing. But there's so much personal pride, I feel like, sometimes when we play, and I think it's okay to have that. Sometimes it can be tough when you're playing. I get it.
When it comes to your picks here, you mentioned you and Chopin the Bulldog do your picks. Who do you like in this? I mean, Scheffler's the favorite. He's never finished top five at an Open Championship, but this course might set up a little better for him to do that. I know, like, strokes gained, he's been the best, and there's a good reason he's the favorite. Anybody else you like here? Fleetwood to kind of come back from his collapse a couple weeks ago. Who's on the short list of guys you like to win it?
Yeah, Fleetwood would be a great story. I think, still looking for that elusive PGA Tour win. This would count as one. The 2 weeks ago, he didn't handle the final stretch very well at all ended up with Keegan Bradley coming back to win. But, that would be a great story if so. There's a couple of players that I feel like are trending well, that are playing well, that I feel like, would play this course well just because of their background. Matthew Fitzpatrick's been playing great over the last month. He had a top five finish last week at the Scottish Open. Sepp Straka, I like a lot this week. He's won twice this year on tour. He had been kind of a DP Tour World European Tour player for most of his career, but he's been starting to play the PGA Tour now regularly because of his success. Austrian player, he's 50-1. I like that quite a bit. And a couple more bigger names, I guess, that we always see in contention in these tournaments. Hatton is a guy that's still been playing well. Even Hatton on LIV has been playing great lately. And Ludvig Åberg last week had another top 10 finish at the Scottish Open. His game's been trending well. We know talent-wise, we've been keeping an eye on him of like, hey, when he's going to break through and win a major. So those are some of the names maybe I think to think about beyond the big dogs here. Schauffele, of course, the defending champion, he seems to be in kind of that mindset to play a course like this really, really well. So putting this week for Scheffler, we know putting is always a stat to watch because a lot of times he putts below average and still wins. The greens this week are very slow in comparison to what the PGA Tour normally does. So I don't know if that's going to help Scheffler or hurt him more, or maybe, you know, just give him a little different mindset of like, hey, these greens are totally different here. Let's see if I can handle something different. So that'll be something to watch because the greens are definitely slower. Just watching some of the early coverage that I've seen so far, maybe it'll allow Scheffler to be a little bit more aggressive on the greens and give him a little different outcome to some of these other tournaments where he has been struggling with the putter.
I did see, I read an article about like this tournament and what it represents and how the, maybe it was Scheffler actually, I had quotes in there from him, how if there's one thing that does set the Open Championship apart from the others, it's that this kind of course, you have to play a lot more shots. He says, you know, when you're playing at the U.S. Open or you're playing at Augusta, you know, you see your ball, you bring one club over there. You know what you're going to hit. And then a tournament like this, he might bring five clubs over because there's a lot of different ways to play the same shot, and that's not always the case in the other tournaments, the other majors, and here in the U.S.
Yeah, I think it's fun that it allows for creativity, and the land obviously is a piece of the decision making that goes into how to hit these kind of shots. And I think that's why, you know, typically you see some of the American players struggle to make that transition. I mean, Phil Mickelson was a great example of that. He for years tried to come over and just play his one style of golf, which for a lot of us, you know, we knew he was the wedge master. He would throw it up in the air and do all sorts of things, and it never worked. And then suddenly he had that change of mindset of realizing, like, I gotta stop trying to play, you know, the square hole peg into the circle space vice, you know, mentality. Like, I got to adjust to the course here. And he started to get creative and started to hit more different kinds of shots. We know Tiger won that one year without even hitting a driver the whole time. So different mentality. I think that, you know, DeChambeau is a guy I'm not picking this week because I still think he plays it his one way. He struggles with his irons. You need to be more creative and hit different kind of shots. I think that's what's cool about this tournament. I mean, we get to see guys try all sorts of different things, especially on their approach shots, with hitting different kind of clubs and, you know, different kind of trajectories and even putting from, you know, 50 yards off the green. I think that's something that you definitely get, which is a unique feel that we don't get in the courses in the United States.
Watching John Rahm putt for birdie right now. Would be nice to see Rombo back to some degree. He was in a tournament a couple months ago, finished in second, but, you know, he has made his birdie putt. So John Rahm goes to 1-under through 6. Brian,
I was going to say, I'll ask you this because I had trouble asking. Somebody asked me if the PGA Tour could take one player back.
Rahm.
Just to help. Would it be Rahm or would it be DeChambeau?
It's a tough one because DeChambeau has become
so much
more.
I said that was tough.
Like, that is tough.
I know.
I'll take DeChambeau. It's a really tough one. If you take one back,
I said Rahm right away, too. Just like you, it's funny you answered just exactly how I did, and then they're like, not Bryson, and I was like, ooh,
yeah.
I don't know. I think those two have equal status of power, maybe. Of
yeah, that's a good question. I think those are the two you want, and you know,
yeah,
past that, like maybe I don't know Cam Smith, but nah, you know, it would be Rahm and be DeChambeau. Thanks, Brian. Enjoy the Open. Where are you guys for Tee to Green this week?
Okay. We are at Niagara Falls Country Club. It's nice. Going to be in front of the final round of the Porter Cup, which started today. And if you can give me 30 seconds on that, yesterday was round one, and it's free admission. It's some of the best college players across the country and top amateur players, including Anthony DeLisanti, Western New York native, who's the reigning now New York State men's amateur champion. Tee time started 7:30 this morning. They run all the way through after 1 o'clock this afternoon, but it's free admission. You can go up and get nice and close and watch some of the best college players in the world. Tiger Woods has played in this. We mentioned Phil Mickelson. He's played in this. Some of these players that are playing here right now have played in this event, like Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, all these guys have played in this event. So, you know, if you're looking to go watch some good amateur golf, and now that the weather is going to be a little nicer here these next few days, it's free. It's up in Lewiston at Niagara Falls Country Club and PorterCup.com if you want any of the tee time information.
Very good. Thanks, Brian.
Okay. Thanks so much, Jeremy. Talk to you later.
Brian Koziol on the Western Hotline. The Open Championship is upon us. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Jet Eden is 7 o'clock on the Sabres and Bo Byram, what to do here, whether or not they're going to trade into T.S. Samuelson. We have a Sabres schedule out. heard something from Paul yesterday I wanted to get to about the NHL and something they're moving to with their schedule, how they have a idea of a kind of league they want to be. I'll get you that as well. All coming up here on WGR.